This is the Feminine Podcast, the official podcast of Feminine, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminine. This is a monumental podcast, everyone. This is the last of the Fix 17 content, and I think it is a fantastic way to end. This is from Neha Rocker. She's an associate professor in emergency medicine at Brown and is the director of the Division of Sports Medicine. She's a super interesting doctor. She's well known for her work in concussion and sports medicine, and she serves as the team physician for Brown University, the US BMX team, the US ski team, and for the Dew Tour. So she's really cool. And she's going to talk about a topic I think is a great way to end the fixed content. This is Lead Like a Woman in a Man's World. Enjoy.
What is it about women that makes us great leaders? And what happens when we fall? And after we fall, what does it take to stand back up? And whatever that thing is that makes us stand back up, how do we get more of it? So what makes us great leaders? The literature is renowned with tons of details on what makes women great leaders. There's about 20 characteristics. Here they are. We're great listeners. We're strong communicators. This is a really busy slide. Let's focus on a couple. We are great and strong communicators. This is true from a young age. If you look at little girls play with each other, they're involved. They try to encourage cooperation. They include everybody in their little scenarios. And if you watch little boys play, it's, no, don't worry about what mom said. I'm going to climb that tree as high as I can, and let's see who falls out first. This leads to teamwork as an adult, and this is a very appreciated characteristic of female leaders. We lead by example. We make our jobs look effortless. We check our egos. This is the flip side of the imposter syndrome, right? We don't really have an ego to check it, right? We always have that self-doubt in our heads, so we check our egos. So whether you're knocked down or you trip, and as a woman in a man's world, they're going to try to knock you down. They're going to haze you. It's part of the process. And no matter what happens, you have to build a firm foundation with the bricks that have been thrown at you. And we've all had it. We've all had bricks thrown at us. We've all fallen down. You have to build a firm foundation. Angela Duckworth, does anybody know who that is? Angela Duckworth did a series of studies, to look at what it is that set people apart. So she was a consultant for McKinsey, if you don't know, here in New York, and then quit that job that paid many, many figures, many, many zeros, and became a high school teacher, a high school math teacher. And she was looking at the kids in her class, and she said, there's something about the kids that excel, and it's more than IQ. There's something about these folks that makes them strong. So she went back to school to try to figure out what is that thing. And she decided it was something called grit. I live in Rhode Island. Grit is something we spit out when we have it in our oysters, right? But this is something we want more of. Thankfully, it's something we can build up. So here's a take a minute, if you can see that. And you'll get these slides later. Figure out how gritty you are. The grittier you are, the more likely you are to stand back up when you fall down. It took me years to get over that episode. I still get shaky about it. It took me years to stand back up. But you have to do it. So you figure out your grit score, and you can do this. Should I give you a minute to look at it now? Do you guys want to look at it? Yes? Okay, I'll read it out loud. Can you see it? No? Okay. New ideas and projects sometimes distract me from previous ones. Is that you? People are raising their hand. Not at all like me to very much like me. So you'll notice the scale, there's no little pointy thing, goes from 5 to 1. They alternate on each line. Setbacks don't discourage me. I don't give up easily. Shit, I should have quit my job that day. I thought about it. I thought about leaving Brown. I called Brian and said, I think I'm out. I think I'm done. I often set goals, but later choose to pursue different ones. I was going to quit sports medicine for sure. I'm a hard worker. I have difficulty maintaining my focus on projects that take me more than a few months to complete. That's probably not true for you women out here. I finish whatever I begin. I do have a desk full of half-finished projects. I think we all might. My interests change from year to year. I'm diligent and I never give up. I've been obsessed with a certain idea or a project for a short time, but later lost interest. I have overcome setbacks to conquer an important challenge. This tells you how gritty you are. Women are scrutinized more than men. We saw that in the recent election. We see that all the time. It's important that women learn how to take this criticism and not let it hold you back. You shouldn't be tripping over small issues, right? We should be able to stand back up. So how do we do that? How do we find our grit? So let's get gritty. There's 5 steps. First step, just do it. So I spent some time after that hiding in a corner, talking to my friends, spent a lot of time on Esther's couch, and I spent a lot of time introspected. What did I do wrong? What set me up? What should I do next? And I was afraid to put myself back out there. That's wrong. Get out there and do it. Just get out there and get involved. You don't have to know what you're going to do. Just throw yourself back in the ring. You'll fall again. That's fine. But at least you're out there and see what sticks. Part of this, though, is finding a good mentor or finding a good board of directors. After that episode, I was a very junior attending when this happened. After that episode, I got my own little board of directors, people in all walks of life who became my spine when I didn't have one. And these people will help you to create movement. The second step, practice. So practice is, in sports medicine, practice means a lot of things. So let's talk about that for a minute. What I'm talking about is deliberate practice. Focus on what you're doing wrong. So when the Navy SEALs go out and they do a mission and they come back, and sort of like when we run a code, we do a little debrief, right? And we can focus on managing the emotions of the people that were involved in the code, and we do that. And we can focus on all the great things that we did, but you don't learn from that. You learn from spending 90% of your time on what did you do wrong and what can I do better? What could have gone better? That's called deliberate practice. There's a concept in my world of deliberate practice of sports specialization, where they say, where parents, we believe, are taught that you need 10,000 hours to become an expert at something. This comes from the chess literature and has now come to the sports literature. So 10,000 hours of playing soccer or 10,000 hours of playing hockey or whatever, and your kid will be an expert by the time they reach high school, and then the colleges will recruit them. It's actually not true. In sports, anyway, it's not true. The colleges don't want that. But in our world, that's true, right? If you intubate 8 times, that's the number needed to master, right? So we know what these numbers are. So deliberate practice. Whatever you're doing, make sure you're focusing on your errors and correcting them. Find purpose. Purpose is a little bit hard, right? Like, blah, they say you're supposed to do what makes you happy. You're supposed to do something that changes someone's life. We all do something that changes someone's life. Every day, I give somebody 2 milligrams of Dilaudid, they're really, really happy. I've changed their life. So you have to live a purpose-centered life. But there's more to it than that. It's more than just changing someone's life. It's changing someone's life that also makes you happy. And that's a little bit harder to find. So while you're out there throwing yourself into all these different things, saying yes to everything, figure out what it is that makes you, that gives you purpose. All right, this is the hardest step. Be hopeful. Obama ran his entire campaign on this, right? But there's 2 kinds of hope. There's passive hope, where you sit around and you're like, tomorrow's going to be better. I just know it. Tomorrow's going to be better. And there's active hope. I'm going to do something to make tomorrow better. So the grit score is you have to have more of the active hope. Say to yourself, and that's a huge difference between I'm going to let happiness happen to me or I'm going to do something to make it better. So there's an equation. I went to an engineering school. I'm all about the equations. Active hope equals growth mindset plus optimistic self-talk. So what's growth mindset? So we have this is the idea that there's a fixed mindset that if I'm smart and I do something, I'm going to be successful. Growth mindset is I'm smart. I still can fail at something. I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to figure out what it is. I'm going to rise to the challenge, and I'm going to try again. So for the people that everything comes easy, they actually have very little growth mindset because they're all fixed mindset people. The people who have to struggle, the people that work harder, actually have more growth mindset, right? And so the people who, you know, try climbing for the first time or try base jumping for the first time or try whatever, skiing down a hill the first time, they, if they fail the first time, they quit. Some people will go back out and try it again because it's super fun. Optimistic self-talk. Do you know we say 300 to 1,000 words a minute to ourselves? Did you know that? No wonder the schizophrenics are freaking crazy. They're 1,000 words per minute? 1,000 words of self-doubt per minute? That's amazing. You have to have more than 80%, be positive. And that you have control over, not all day, every day. But some parts of the day, you have control over that, right? You can say, oh wait, I'm gonna turn this channel down. As someone said yesterday, I'm gonna put it on the positive channel. You have to, it's an active move, right? It's a conscious move, you have to do it. So talk positively to yourself. Things are not permanent, pervasive, or personal. Set goals, that's part of your optimistic self-talk. You have to set goals. And they can be tiny goals. I am gonna make dinner today. I'm gonna write that chapter. I'm gonna write one sentence of that chapter. Practice visualization. We always talk about that, right? See yourself intubating the person successfully. Use simulations. Always make your practice as close to the real thing as possible. And the last step, give in to peer pressure. We're in a room full of people who are gritty. That stuff rubs off on you. I was gonna say a bad word. That rubs off on you. So surround yourself by gritty folk, right? Right, we're right here. Join a gritty group and you will rise to their level. You will not bring them down, don't worry. You will rise to their level. When you take a job, look at the people you're gonna be working with, because the odds are you're gonna be like them. They're not gonna be like you. Use the power of peer pressure. So in summary, pursue what interests you. You're not gonna stick it out if you don't care. Practice. Find purpose, that's hard. I get that, it's hard. Have hope and hang out with your peers. And as for the end of my story, it's not over yet. Thank you very much.